Hallelujah. Yeah, today's scripture reading is we have two places. The first one is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 3, and second one is Acts chapter 34 to 38. Acts chapter 7, verse 34 to 38. I let it read. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with the manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by the bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds of the mouth of the Lord. The second one is Acts chapter 7, verse 34 to 38. I like to read. I have a certainness in the oppression of my people in Egypt, and have heard their groans, and I have come down to deliver them. Come now, and I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, whom they disowned, saying, who made you ruler and a judge, is the one whom God sent to be both a ruler and a deliverer, with the help of the angels who appeared to him in the thorn bush. This man led them out, the performing wonders and the signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the sons of Israel, God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai, and who was with our fathers, and he received the living oracles to pass on to you. This is the word of God. Today's title is, Why Did the Israelite Walk in the Wilderness? Why did the Israelite walk in the wilderness? During the exodus of the Israelite to the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey promised by God, we know that they spent 40 years in the wilderness. The God of power could have taken the Israelites straight to the land of Canaan, but God purposely made them walk through the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 tells us why. I like to read. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. He said that the first purpose was to humble and test them, which in the original language means to afflict, to torment, to suffer. We tend to think of this as a simple punishment for the unbelief and the resentment of God's word, but that's not God's intentions. According to the Lamentations chapter 3, verse 33, God says, for he does not afflict willingly or grieve the sons of man. God does not torment or punish people because he hates them. God's discipline is all out of good intentions. So is in the Hebrew chapter 12, verse 9 to 10, especially verse 10, the scripture said, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. The Bible says that the God's discipline of us is for our good because he considers us his beloved son and wants us to be partakers of his holiness. You can see in the Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45, I like to read, thus you shall be holy, for I am holy. Amen. And secondly, God wanted to see if they would keep his commandment and words. The first, what kind of wilderness did God lead them through? The Bible defines the wilderness as Hebrew is midbar, a dangerous land where death is always threatened, uninhabitable and desolate field, a barren desert, a land abandoned by all nations. It is described as the shadow of death. You can see the Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 6. And a vast and dangerous wilderness where the way of heath is unpredictable in the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15. In other words, it is a land where there is nothing humans can do, a place that is beyond human power and means. It is a place where there is no help in the face of dangers, where there are fierce serpents and scorpions, a dry land with no water, not a blade of grass or tree growing for food, no shelter from the scorching sun, and no fire to ward off the chill of the night. In other words, God drove the Israelites into the wilderness to put them in an environment where they could do nothing of their own, where they would be forced to be humble, and where they could only look to God. However, the word for wilderness, Hebrew, is midbar, comes from Hebrew dabar, which means to speak, but is also the word for the most holy of holies, where we meet God and hear his word. In other words, the wilderness become a place to hear God's word, and God wants man to experience that what God proclaims in the wilderness never fails to be fulfilled, so that they would become people who live by faith in the words that come from God's mouth. That's why God sent manna into the wilderness. You can see the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So I like to one more time. I like to read. So he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with the manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man live by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Amen. By teaching them the law of gathering manna in the wilderness, he trained them for 40 years to go out to the manna field every day to gather manna, giving them a double portion on the day before the Sabbath and a full portion on the Sabbath a day dedicated to God. He gave them visible manna, but he did so to teach them that by keeping God's word, they could live in abundance and joy even in a wilderness-like world where man could not. And Jesus talked to us in the Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, same thing. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He wants them to realize that living by faith in God's word, his commands, is eternal life. You can find out at the John chapter 12, verse 50, Jesus said, I know that his commandment is eternal life. But how nice it would be to meet God in the wilderness. It is said that the wilderness is the place to test us. But when a person suffers, there are two reactions. There are those who cry out to God in prayer and seek God's help. And there are those who grumble and complain. This is the task that God has set before us. Blessing and curse, life and woe. May you all choose blessing and life through faith in God's word, the covenant. Amen. And the third thing was that he wanted to recognize our heart. The wilderness is the best place to reveal our heart. When everything is peaceful and comfortable, we don't show our true heart. But when it gets hard, when it gets uncomfortable, when it gets painful, we reveal the true heart we've been hiding. Words of grace and glorifying God normally come out of our mouths, but from the same lips come unthinkable things that have nothing to do with the faith or the word. There are those who speak negatively of the church and become tools of the devil to tempt all. There are those who don't open their mouths to speak directly but stir up the church by leading others to temptations. A person cannot know the heart of others. However, God is not only the one who examines all our heart, but in the end, he will make the heart of people fully known so that they will have no excuse to justify themselves with their own words. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, God said, "Until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light to the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of man's heart, and then each man's praise will come to him from God." Amen. He will bring to light everything that has been done in secret, and he will bring judgment to bear on it. Let's look at the Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. "For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evils." God knows every intention of our heart, and if we think he doesn't, we are greatly mistaken. I'll give you another one. Psalm chapter 44, 21. "Would not God find this out? For he knows the secret of the heart." Amen. "For we boast to ourselves that we are righteous from our youth, but the true praise is from the Lord." According to the 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18, clearly talk to us. "For not he who commands himself is approved, but whom the Lord commands." We know that Moses and Aaron were given many occasions during the 40 years in the wilderness to be resented and criticized by the Israelites. But near the end of their time in the wilderness, they were betrayed by those they trusted the most. They were members of their own family, the tribe of Levi, who had been entrusted with God's holy work and served in God's house. That is Korah. Korah was one of the sons of Kohath, who were in the charge of carrying for the articles of the tabernacle. They were especially valued by God and were given more precious duties than the other Levitical tribes. You can find out the Numbers chapter 3, verse 31. Korah was a close cousin of Moses and Aaron. You can see that at the Exodus chapter 6, verse 21 and 24. And he led a party against Moses and Aaron. They were dissatisfied and resentful that only their cousins, Moses and Aaron, were in leadership, even though they were of the same tribe in their heart. For this rebellion, Moses rebuked them in the Numbers 16, verse 7. You have gone far enough, you son of Levi. You have gone far enough is to exceed the limit of one's status. God never gave us more than we can handle. The work they were doing was indeed too much. More, Moses makes a point of this. In the Deuteronomy, is the Numbers verse chapter 16, verse 9 to 10. I like to read, is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And that he has brought you near Korah and all of your brothers, sons of Levi, which with you, and are you seeking for the priesthood also? When a man sees how great his blessings are, and how great the blessings of others seem to be, he becomes ungrateful to God, a grumbler, and an enemy of God. When a person is tempted or struggling, they must encounter the Word. It is not enough to find someone who listens to their complaints and agree with them. Rather, they need to meet someone who will truthfully speak about why they have fallen into such a situation and pray with them. If all one seek are those who merely sympathize with their condition, they will never be able to escape from the darkness. In the scripture, in the Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. But Korah accused Moses and sought to make himself king. In the Numbers chapter 16, 13 to 14, right? And from the 14, he said, indeed, you have not brought us into land flowing with milk and honey, nor have you given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Would you put out the eyes of this man? We will not come off. And they would this deceitful, making empty promise and not fulfilling them. And they were deceitful to the Israelites, saying, are they blind? And Moses was angry and commanded them again, saying, take incense in censers and bring them before the tabernacle of the meeting and let them wait for the God's judgment as to who belongs to God. You can see there, find out at the Numbers 16, verse 5 to 6 and 16 to 18. Not only these 200 people come out, but Korah instigate the gathering of all those who had not yet actively participated in the rebellion, and he personally threatened and confronted Moses and Aaron, showing them their numbers. First, they opposed Moses verbally, and now they gather a group of reckless and unaware men to usurp Moses' leadership. But they were under the illusion that if they could only topple Moses, they could become the leaders of Israel. They did not realize that the God who sent Moses was the true leader, and that their opposition to Moses was in the contempt and opposition to God. Let's look at the Numbers chapter 16, verse 11 and 30. I like to read Numbers 16, verse 11. Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord, but as the, for Aaron, who is he that you grumble against him? And the verse 30, and then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord. God gave all divine authority to Moses and Aaron, but Korah, instead of serving with loyalty and diligently fulfilling the law entrusted to him, sought to use the ignorant ones to rise up and rule over the Israelites like a worldly king. Finally, their true intentions are exposed. They try to resist and oppose Moses, but God appears on the scene. God commands Moses and Aaron to quickly leave the congregation. However, Moses and Aaron, knowing how fearful God's wrath is, pray to God. In the Numbers 16, verse 22, when one man sin, will thou be angry with the entire congregations? Because of the sin of one man, that one man is Korah. He saw exactly how one man's unbelief, one man's darkness, one man's sin, and had spread to the entire congregation of Israel. And he prayed desperately to God to spare those who had followed in ignorance. God intervenes directly to ensure that the divine authority of Moses and Aaron is no longer challenged. You can find out Numbers 17, verse 2 to 4. The next day, when Moses entered the Holy of Holies, he saw that Aaron's rod had sprouted, blossomed, and opened with apricot fruit. The rod, which had been dead and dry up, was not only alive and sprouting, but hanging with fruit. And God made Aaron's rod a sign, a warning to the rebellious, so that no one would ever again die because of resentment against God. It's God's word of love to stop death and to live by God's grace alone. In conclusion, the 40 years wilderness journey was rather a chastisement for the people who did not believe in God's covenant and word and walked in resentment against God. You can see that the Numbers chapter 14, verse 27 and 32-33. Nevertheless, we should not forget that God did not abandon them and help them throughout the 40 years wilderness journey. During the 40 years in the wilderness that God led them, the Israelites did not lack anything. You can see the Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. And specified in the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 4 and 16 is like that. God talked to that. Then, your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your food swell these 40 years. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. To do good for you in the end. During these 40 years in the wilderness, in the land of the dead, God provided for their food, protected them from their enemies, from wild beasts, from heat and cold, from all the dangers of the wilderness, and gave them victory in all their battles. This is because the grace of Emmanuel was with them every moment of those 40 years. And we must remember that they marched endlessly through the wilderness of the death and the suffering, and not one of them died because of the thirst or hunger or because of the wilderness. The reason for this is that God carries us like a child in his arm and guides us and watches over us like the pupil of his eyes. You can find out at the Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 31 and chapter 32 verse 11. All of these wilderness experiences should truly be a lesson to us, a mirror to our heart as we walk in faith. In the scriptures, according to the 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 9 to 12, I like to read. Now let us try the Lord as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. Isn't the Lord also speaking to us? Let's read together and finish. Please open your Bible. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34. Please open your Bible. Find out the Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 34. 6, 31 to 34. Let's read together. Start. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen.